I've always had a theory that we could save so much money on TSA if they would just play the Star Spangled Banner at security checkout. And anyone that doesn't just stand a little taller, put their hand over their heart, and just get that little goosebump on the back of their neck, you're not getting on the plane. And it would get rid of all those electronic scanners. It would get rid of the endless amount of overhead. And I'm telling you, we are a money-saving program right here at Rosie on the House, joined in studio today with Jonathan Manning of Elgin Nursery. Tell us a little bit about Elgin. It's a great little
just
hidden
two locations
treasure.
In town. We have one retail store and another location where we grow material right here, locally adapted plants. We have all the stuff that you'd commonly find in regular garden centers, plus some stuff that we grow ourselves so you can't find anywhere else in town. Also, probably most importantly, we have salespeople who have tons of experience, can spend as much time as you need answering questions, helping you with what you need.
And it's 83rd Avenue?
And McDowell.
And McDowell.
West side of town. It's easy to get to off of the 101 or the 10. It's 8606 West McDowell. There's a good website, too. You can find the map and discounts and all kinds of things on there.
And Alex Billingsley of Flower Street Urban Gardens.
Thank you. Our location is at 4401 East Flower Street, just north of Thomas on 44th Street.
You can't miss it because you start seeing all the your wall is completely lined with them.
Yeah, we have 11 of the units out there. And at their location, what we try to do is give it different exposures, too, so people can get a different idea of what they can plant on different exposures. The ones that run along 44th Street, that obviously gets full-on western exposure. So we change that out really twice a year. We're getting ready this next week to change it all out to a lot of the summer plants.
And when I was putting the talking points for this interview together, I was listing some of the things that you couldn't grow in it. And I had mentioned melons, and I had mentioned carrots. And then I went to your Facebook page, and I saw melons and carrots both growing.
Yeah, and tomatoes. I mean, that's the really unique thing about this system is that you've got a foot of soil depth in there. So you can pretty much grow anything. Your root vegetables only need about 8 to 10 inches of root depth. And we have certain ones of our gardens that we actually just have dedicated to root vegetables. I mean, we grow turnips, onions, beets, carrots. And one of the cool things about this is you can actually rotate those. So when one crop's done, it's just like farmers have done forever is crop rotation. So this is a really easy way to rotate your crops so you're not depleting anything from a specific harvest.
And it doesn't require a shovel or a pick or a hoe.
And I think that's one of the things that makes our product so appealing is that the ease of use. You can install this, hang it on a block fence with the only tool that you need is a tape measure to space the brackets. All the boards just slide into place. We have our custom fitted liner that has the perforations for the drainage. The end caps even are not physically fastened on most of our residential applications. And that really brings it to the serviceability. If a board ever, you know, it's redwood. It's a natural product. So it could have a chip into it. It could crack. It could bow. One of the cool things about it is you can actually take the end caps off, slide the boards out while it's planted in service, and slide a brand new board in. Also, when, you know, as gardeners, we know that we need to amend the soil. With these units, each tier only takes 2 cubic feet of, and we recommend a potting soil, a real high-grade potting soil. So it's only 2 cubic feet.
And it's a very good point why you recommend a potting soil over a garden soil.
Because it's not as heavy. You know, it's going to have more perlite. You're going to be able to start growing things immediately. They're just going to take off. Where some of the gardening soils is a little bit heavier, denser, and it can be a little harder to start some of your plants in. So I think that's one of the things about it. And the bags are typically at the nurseries. They're going to be in 1, 1.5, or 2 cubic foot bags. So it's really simple to get those. And then all your gardening is done upright. You don't have to bend over to work it. Maybe in a couple of years, you want to replace the soil. You take out a liner or take out the end cap, slide the whole liner out, soil and all, and dump it out. Replace it with fresh new potting soil.
1-888-767-4348. That's 1-888-ROSIE for you if you'd like to join the conversation. And that bending over is actually kind of how you got the idea for this.
It really was. My father had moved in with us January before last, and we had a couple of raised beds, and he couldn't really work in those. And I was intrigued about the whole vertical gardening, and like I had mentioned earlier, and when he got there, it was really that catalyst for me to, you know, start working on this seriously, to give him something to do. And then it came into this whole universal design, because it's great for kids. We've gotten school installations that we've done. It's great for the teachers to be able to teach gardening, because not all the little eyes are down at the ground. It gives the gardener a totally different perspective and different relationship they have with their plants when they're looking at them sort of eye to eye instead of always looking down on them.
And when you talk about universal designs in kids, you can, you know, the kids obviously can do tier one and two. And, I mean, if you were Shaq, you'd probably need to do like a 10 tier for him. I mean, there's no limit to how high you can go.
There's really no limit. And, you know, we have some of our big 5-tier units, and you'll see those on our website, too, at flowerstreeturbangardens.com. And even some of those will put in plants that don't need as much service, perhaps doesn't need as much water. I'm 6 foot tall. I get on a ladder to service the tops of those. But sometimes you're just doing it for a visual effect as well, to help keep your house cooler.
Now, we've talked about putting it on a flat wall. And I have one more point I want to make about this. But you're not limited to that design. I think the best example y'all have in your portfolio is when you came together on an outside 90. That was slick.
That was actually my first prototype. That one on the website, you'll see that. That's the back of our house. That's actually our kitchen garden that, you know, we grow and eat out of that every single day, from kale and Swiss chard tomatoes. And it is just a beautiful design effect that can be accommodated on any kind of a house. Our house happens to be a mid-century modern, and it's just aesthetically it goes with that kind of house.
And the last point real quick before we get back to our tree topic is animals. It's a perfect system that doesn't have to worry about rabbits or dogs if you have it high enough. I mean, the pest control factor of this is built into it.
It really is. I know when I first did my raised beds, it was like my dog had a big smile on my face, on their face, thanking me for giving them all this great place to dig. But that's the problem with a lot of gardening. And in some areas of the valley, it could be javelinas, it could be rabbits that are issues. And some of the units that we've installed for people, we've deliberately had those maybe a 4-tiered unit would best accommodate on the size of wall, but we've gone for a 3-tiered where it's up off the ground just a little bit further. So they don't have those issues with the rabbits and things like that. They can get into it.
And you mentioned mobile. I keep saying the last bullet point, but there's so much more that just keeps coming up, and you can use, you guys build a steel frame that's rollable. So if you have a patio or you're an apartment on with a little patio, it's something you can put out there and take with you when you go. Or if it's something that you have frost sensitive or certain light requirements, you can roll it in and out of shade.
Yeah, our mobile gardens, you know, not just for the homeowners with smaller areas and space. I mean, a lot of the restaurants and chefs love these mobile gardens, because the mobile garden, it gives you 36 square feet of planting space, and it only takes up, the footprint is only 12 square feet. So one of the things that we like to talk about, a lot of people know about gardening, vegetable gardening, and square foot gardening is a term that's really had a lot of impact here in the last few years. Our system really is square foot gardening multiplied, because you're going up with it. And they are modular, where you can join them together to make them as long as you want them to be. The standard length, like I mentioned earlier, they're 6 feet wide, and then you select how many tiers, but you can actually join them together to make them as long as you want them to be to fulfill your needs.
If you haven't seen it yet, you're doing yourself a disservice by not going to flowerstreeturbangardens.com. Mr. Manning, before the show started, you were the first one here this morning. Yeah, I mean, you beat everybody. He's sitting in here on the couch waiting for us when we got here. But you and Rosie had a very interesting conversation about tree fertilizing and services that some tree companies offer. Do you fertilize? Don't you fertilize? Let's just kind of relive that conversation, because I learned a lot just eavesdropping in on y'all.
My rule on fertilizer is probably that plants that are adapted to a desert climate like ours, you know, if it's a desert type plant, they're usually used to a soil like ours, which is low in nitrogen, low in fertilizer, salty probably, and I wouldn't use fertilizer on them. It doesn't hurt. I mean, I've done it, and it helps them grow faster. A lot of them, though, you know, you're trying to stop pruning so much, and that's a problem with fertilizers. You end up just pruning a lot of it right back off. Trees that do need, absolutely need fertilizer are trees from other climate zones where it's more of a foresty type thing, whether it be tropical rainforests, like a ficus tree, for example, or an ash tree that comes from a more foresty type place at higher elevation. So those trees I definitely fertilize usually right before a growth spurt. So spring is probably the easiest time to remember. March 1st, if you want to date everything that starts popping out in the spring, you can fertilize it at least once. Citrus trees are one that absolutely needs fertilizer to produce and grow well.
Granular versus liquid, do you have a preference?
Either way is fine. Just read the directions as a rule on fertilizer. Whatever, there's so many products and brands and concentrations. Whatever you buy, it's kind of, you know, there's pretty much lawn food that's only for lawn. There's tree and shrub foods for that's just to make stuff grow. And then if it's some kind of fruit, choose a fruit food and read the ingredients.
1-888-767-4348. That's 1-888-ROSIE for you.